Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 1 of Das Daily Zeitgeist for November 27, 2017. It's a Monday. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jackrabbit Slims, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it's your boy, Gemini Crockett, here, coming live at you from space. Fifth Element reference, because he did a Pulp Fiction one. Anyway, top of the morning to everyone. That wasn't an Irish brogue.
The toppest of the morning is to all of you, and we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by our guest, a hilarious comedian, an actress and improviser, Katia Kvinge.
Kvinge!
Kvinge!
Yay! I know her so well.
Yo, I love
my special friend.
Yeah. My special friend.
Katia Kvinge.
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 Now you're...
I can't even say it. I've had so many people pronounce it wrong that I even say Kvinge.
Whoa. What's that accent you're talking with?
I'm a little bit of something and something else.
So you are from... You're from Scotland, right, Katia?
Well, I grew up in Scotland, but I'm half Norwegian, half American.
That's why your name is Katia Kvinge.
Kvinge, yeah, Norwegian side, yeah.
Do you speak Norwegian as
I
well?
I do, yeah. It's my first language, yeah.
I'm mad polyglots in the building.
I should just enter like Kvinge. Hello, everybody. Kvinge.
Is that the Norwegian way of pronouncing it?
Kvinge, yeah.
Kvinge.
Even, if I had known it was Norwegian, I would have had it.
The Brits all say Kvinge.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, see, that's
no,
a line.
No, but it's wrong. But it's wrong.
Right. So, I'm saying it's not that Jack is the only person.
But my mistake is not.
No, no. Oh, no. Super cool.
Unheard of.
No.
All right.
Yeah, you got past it. I think you recovered from that.
Katia, what is something that you've searched for in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Oh, revealing is who I... Well, because just over this Thanksgiving weekend, I Googled... I looked at 2,000 dresses on ASOS.
Because that's 30% off sale? Yeah, that's right. I was looking at that too.
Yeah. Which, that's not like me. Because I've also never done Black Friday, and I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. Why not get my Christmas stuff now? For other people as well. What?
You're only wearing 4 dresses, right?
Yeah,
now,
once.
So
yeah.
It wouldn't be...
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Yes. Hot for LA.
Yeah.
And I also, I was mainly Googling dresses and just politicians and people that are being outed that I'm like, who is Carter person?
Carter Page?
I don't know. Wasn't there someone from
Sean
the
Carter?
Boy band?
Nick Carter?
Yeah.
We talked about that on last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Benghazi continues every day.
Mm.
People are swept up for their wrongdoings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can't stop.
What is something that you think is overrated?
I think nightclubs are overrated a little bit because I like to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I love dancing.
Yeah.
But I feel that now, I don't know if what's wrong with me, but I think nightclubs are so noisy. Like, I don't enjoy it. It's just way too loud.
It's too loud. There's nowhere to sit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to love clubs. I think when you're younger, it's fine because you just need a place to drink and like dance all night. But like people. As you, I think, begin to value like human interaction.
Yeah.
It's not the place to do it.
Yeah.
Too much dancing.
I love dancing, but it's
Jack, you look so confused.
Painful.
Well, no. I'm just, I think I always prefer bars because usually you can have like a loud part of the bar where there is loud music. But then there's also the part where you can actually hear yourself think.
But you kind of look weird if you start dancing in a bar.
Right.
That is true.
I mean, I don't because I'm an amazing dancer.
Bar dancer. Don't want to shame people.
I get up on that bar.
They're like, oh, that's legendary bar dancer, Potatoes O'Brien.
That's right. What's something you think is underrated?
Oh, I put farts.
Wow. Go on. I'm intrigued.
I don't know if I should say. My boyfriend, we're quite fresh and new, and he farts more than anyone I've ever been with. And I forgot how funny they are and how... I don't know. I feel like I'm regressing into like a child, but and yet at the same time getting older and hating nightclubs. But,
just like a perfectly timed fart.
What did I put also is...
Oh, yeah. Perfectly timed fart. Yeah. I mean, I don't want it. I'm glad you say underrated because I think we need to embrace farts again as a people.
For sure.
And I was reminded that over my Thanksgiving, my grandma's like very polite and she doesn't like farting. Mm. My grandfather is similar to your boyfriend. Mm. I've not met a man on earth who can fart as much as he does, as audibly as he does. And we have this culture of farting to make my grandma upset in my house. Mm. And so Thanksgiving was like a fart fest. And my grandma was just like, please stop. She's like being good natured about it. But anyway, shout out to your boyfriend for farting so much.
He's going to hate me for saying that.
Well, no one knows his name. What's his name?
And where does he work? No, I can't.
Okay, that's fine. Just tell me, we won't put this in. What's
his name? Okay.
All right. Yeah, just there. I tried.
All right. We're going to get into format now. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics and the president and news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. Those still get in front of millions of people every day because people still need to buy milk and most of them have eyes. So. Trying to take the temperature of what's going on with the national shared consciousness. And we like to start out by talking about some myths that our guest is kind of, based on their background, knows aren't true, that most people believe to be true. That was a very convoluted way of saying that. But what are some things that you think most of our listeners might believe that aren't true?
Okay, so my thing, this is something that I also think is weird and that I know if someone was to tell me it, I'd be like, okay, weirdo. Like, so my thing is kind of premonition dreams and also kind of wondering if they're part of more like a collective consciousness or if they're just a coincidence. Because
You started off thinking premonition dreams are just BS?
Yeah, because okay. I remember seeing when it was the 9/11, some guy being like, yeah, I dreamt it before it happened. I was like, okay. And then he started, I think, taking pictures of himself with the paper at a bank, being like, I had this dream on this day. And I was just kind of like, I don't know, like almost like people were just doing it to get attention. And then So in 2015, I hadn't had a dream that I could remember for ages. And on December 31st, 2015, I sort of said to myself, I was like, why haven't I had a dream that I can remember? And I was like, okay, well, tonight I need to dream whatever it is that my brain's not letting me dream. And then on January 1st, 2016, I woke up to a nightmare of the Grim Reaper looming over me. And I like woke up gasping and was just like, it was kind of scary because I hadn't dreamt in ages. And then suddenly I was having a dream of the Grim Reaper. So I like looked it up and it was like, either it's an omen of death or it's a sign of new beginnings. And I was like, well, symbolically, it's kind of like, the Grim Reaper is sort of saying January 1st, like a new year in a way.
I'm so worried for you now that this is a premonition dream.
But then, like, you know how there was like...
What are you about to tell us?
Well,
then the next day, sure enough, I wake up and Grim Reaper stand right over me.
Well, the 2016 was the year of loads of celebrities dying.
Right.
And I don't know if that was linked to it, but then I started having... dreams of kind of things that happened then later in the news. Like there was the MP, Jo Cox, that got, she's an MP in the UK. She got killed. And
what is an MP?
A member of parliament.
Okay.
And so the night before I had a dream that I was shot in my hip, my chest and my face. And
the
next
day. These are
awesome dreams. Yeah, I know, right?
These are worth remembering.
Sorry, you're like, oh, great. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks,
Brian. And then the next day I was with my friends and they were like, oh, did you hear about that MP that got shot? I was like, oh, no way. I had a dream that I got shot. And then later found out that I think she'd been shot or stabbed, but in those kind of places. And then the ridiculous thing is now, like, I also had a dream that my boyfriend cheated on me. So I'm like, when's this going to happen?
Right. Wow. Right.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's weird. And I also, like, it could just be a coincidence or it right. could just be collective consciousness. Like, it's all about.
I mean, I would guess that you're crazy. That
yeah.
You're just a, no, I'm just
Or kidding. You are you, or you're working with some form of terrorist group. You right. to know a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going off what I'm
Were
hearing.
I an FBI agent? No, I've talked before about how I have, like, a weird theory that the Wilco album, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. Uh-huh. And I think this is because I had the misconception that it was recorded after 9/11 because it was released after 9/11 because they had all these like weird label disputes. But it turns out they recorded it in 2000 and then didn't release it till 2002. But there's all this like 9/11 imagery and like just sort of themes about 9/11 that I always assumed were intentionally there. And so then I like somebody was able to come up with a plan to carry out 9/11. So it's not impossible that somebody else would have in their unconscious part of their mind, like come up with that plan themselves and like think about it happening before it actually happened, because, you know, that's just the mind is a pretty crazy and somewhat intuitive thing.
So Wilco planned 9/11.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. no, but I do think that, yeah, I think it's totally possible. I don't think there's anything magical about it other than that the mind is maybe more powerful than we give it credit for. Mm. And like, especially the unconscious part of the mind, like the parts that we oftentimes don't have access to in our sort of waking life
Or like, you know, when you think about a friend and then suddenly you'll get a text from them or something you haven't thought about, like maybe there's some sort of similarity in that sense where it's like, I don't know. It's
we're all connected in weird ways. And yeah, and there's, you know, I think there are many ways to sort of rationalize all of that without being like, oh, I'm a cursed precog who can see into the future.
Right. So like a thing that happened, I've often talked about my sister who like really awesome person, one of my favorite people in the world, but she for like a span in high school for like 3 years had this thing where whenever she looked at the clock it was either 1:11 or 11:11.
Yeah
and like I think it's just and like I've noticed that I sometimes have like a really insane ability to guess what time it is before I look at the clock.
Yeah
and I think that's like just, you know, we have this sense of time that's going in the back of our mind that we're not constantly aware of, but that like, you know,
or isn't there that thing like confirmation bias where it's like she may have looked at the clocks other times but not really thought about it, but then the minute she looks at it and it's 11:11, she's like, oh, I remember that because I've done that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like I'm sure I've probably had dreams that I don't really remember.
Right. But, totally. Yeah.
Confirmation bias.
I think it's probably
has
a combination of all those sorts of things.
A huge thing to do with it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and I did want to just mention that you were on one of our more popular episodes of the Cracked Podcast, where we talked about, I think the subject was things Americans don't realize are weird about America.
Yeah.
And I think that two of the things that I found really interesting that you talked about are that girls and guys aren't friends in America. Like there's always some weird.
Well, it's just that I noticed that guys that I thought were friends of mine out here, then I'd be back in town and I like one of them, I was like, oh, I'm back. And he's like, I have a girlfriend. And I was like, oh, sorry, were we flirting? I thought we were just friends.
No, I was harboring feelings for you that I didn't express. And I was using the guise of friendship to sort of stifle these feelings.
Right.
And just like even my American side of my family, like my cousins, I remember once when we were younger, my sister and I, we made friends with these two British guys in the plane. We're like, oh, like, we're staying here on this island, like, come and join us. And it's completely, like, platonic. Like, we weren't saying that to them. It's platonic. But it was just this platonic feeling. And then my American cousins were like, what are you doing? Like, bringing these guys you don't know, like, they're trying to get with you. And it just feels like, I feel in the UK, I have more male friends that I'm certain are platonic. Whereas here, I'm realizing the guys I thought were friends, that they're just like, so like, what's up?
Right. And when you mentioned that to me, you were the first person I interviewed for that episode. I was like, man, she's crazy. I don't know. But then we interviewed the comedian Aiko Tanaka, who's originally from Japan. And she said the exact same thing as you, like almost like word for word. It was wow. Okay. Yeah, maybe we have a problem. I also didn't think you were crazy. I'm just joking. But so that's something that you guys both pointed out. And I think you also both pointed out that our foods are poison, and we don't realize that.
There's like a bunch of foods out here that are banned, that they don't sell in Europe. I'm pretty sure Mountain Dew is one of them. And some mac and cheese brands.
Oh, Kraft mac and cheese, I think, was banned. Or at least back from this article I was looking at from 2015.
Yeah. there's a bunch of things that I see out here in stores, and I'm like, oh, we don't have that in the UK. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, these are all things that were staples of my diet when I was a kid. So that's good.
Well, the other thing that was really surprising, like all of Tyson Chicken. It was banned in the
that
UK.
Brand in general.
That's like the most popular chicken brand in the US.
Right.
We're eating bullshit, y'all.
And I think there's way more corn syrup and things out here as well.
Yeah. Well, everything is made with corn out here.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And the loopholes that our food manufacturers use, like the fact that Kraft mac and cheese is made with 100% real cheese, but real cheese is just the name of the company that makes the fake cheese that they use. That stuff seems weird to people who aren't from America, and should seem weird to us now. Like,
nah,
when
it's capitalism, baby.
Yeah. We have so much news to get to today, but this was just too much fun to talk to you about myths. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into all of the news we have to catch up on. We've been gone too long, you guys.
Been too long.
All right. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. All right. So we had a bunch of stories we wanted to hit on real quick. Time Inc., company that publishes Time Magazine. And lots of magazines, right?
So, yeah, they own Time, Sports Illustrated, and People, amongst other things.
Yeah, those are big ones. So they were just sold to a Koch Brothers. Oh, we talked about the Koch Brothers last week. A Koch Brothers-backed company that currently owns Better Homes and Gardens and Family Circle. So, yeah, they're called Meredith. So if you go to Better Homes and Gardens and Family Circle, they're not, like, overtly, like, Jesus is judging you. But they definitely are, you know, family value-oriented.
Yeah. Definitely focus on, like, the audiences of the Midwest.
Right.
When we were looking, we're like, what the fuck is Family Circle?
Right.
And I thought it was going to be a fun coloring book. But it was just, it seemed like it was very much like homemaker sort of stuff. Like, these are like the can't miss gingerbread recipes of the season.
Right.
And how to inoculate your children from like liberal leftist propaganda.
Right.
I think was an insert that wasn't on the cover, but right. I feel like that was probably a likely follow-up story.
Right. They're based in Des Moines, Iowa, so it's not shocking that they would cover things that are.
But yeah, it's interesting because they bought Time Inc. for $3 billion in an all cash transaction. So they put $3 billion together real quick. And yeah, the private equity arm of the Koch brothers, they put down like $650 million. And what's interesting to note, though, is that they were really clear in the announcement of the deal that Meredith said that the Koch brothers, they will not have a seat on the board of directors and they will have zero influence on their editorial or managerial operations, mm-hmm. end quote. But sure. Again, you know, that's what you say
right
before, you know.
Just like Republican politicians have been like, the Koch brothers do not influence
us at
all.
Or even Katya's boyfriend was probably like, I don't fart all the time.
Right, like, exactly.
You caught me on a really weird day.
Right. So there's a new report from Harvard that says that we have been undercounting police killings in America. The Department of Justice has been. The Guardian was like kind of keeping track of this and had sort of a whole data set that was outside of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which was tracking it for the government. They had misclassified 55.2% of all police killings. So that was just something I always had in the back of my mind. Like, I knew that they weren't totally keeping great track of it, but that they did have like some semblance of a report that they were putting together. But
And when you look at sort of the areas where a lot of the misclassifications happen, it's all, you know, disproportionately in like very low income jurisdictions. And it's interesting because like the way they categorize these things to even report the deaths is like if it's classified under legal intervention, then that would be like a direct police involved shooting. Other times they would just say, oh, it was assault that was the cause of death or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for them to, you know, fudge the numbers when in fact a lot of these were because of legal intervention.
Right. So.
In Norway, they don't even carry guns on them. And the police don't even have them. They have them in their car. Like the whole Anders Breivik attack, that was just like such a shock to them. So they weren't even prepared.
So there was one of the worst mass shootings ever in Norway, right?
Yeah.
And that was at like a camp for children or whatever?
And I think he did something in the parliament building as well. He went... Or it was a bomb.
He sent a bomb to the parliament building on the same day that he carried out the shooting. But Did they change rules after that, or is it just the understanding is that, well, this was like a one-off psychopath who...
I haven't heard about any legislation changes, but the other thing as well is prisons in Norway are so nice. Like, he's literally on an island, and I've seen, like, it's just beautiful, like, houses that they keep a lot of prisoners, like, on islands, and the only way to get to it is through a little boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the quality of life in Norway is so nice. My ex-boyfriend was Norwegian, and he was, like, always like this. Like, I grew up in the ghetto, you know, it was really hard. And he took me to where he lived. It was beautiful. He's like, yeah, people took heroin there. I was like, right. These are like pink and blue and yellow houses.
It's right. So beautiful here. I might start doing heroin because it's so beautiful so I can chill the fuck out here.
Another happy piece of news. We're running out of saline here in America because of Puerto Rico and Hurricane Maria.
Yeah. And so I was talking with my really good friend, Brittany, who's a nurse. And she was telling me, she's like, oh, you should talk about this on the show because this is a real problem with nurses. And I was like, what? And apparently it's like 0.9% saline solution, which is like used to administer drugs or just for hydration. It's like the most used item in a hospital for like intravenous anything. They were projected to be running out of their supply like very soon. And a lot has to do with the fact that we completely rely on pharmaceutical companies that are based in Puerto Rico to make these medications, not just saline. There's like other meds too that are in short supply because of the hurricane. And because there's no power there and they're having to use generator power to make saline, it's coming to the U.S. at a very, very slow rate. And people are having to like ration how they're using saline, and it's kind of affecting how some people are administering healthcare. But there was an announcement from the FDA basically saying, like, hey, look, we're doing everything we can. And it also sounded like they were leaning on the like power authority in Puerto Rico to prioritize energy getting back to these manufacturing operations.
As opposed to the people. I mean, this is capitalism at work, right? The only way to get people to do something nice for a group of people is out of self-interest.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, now Americans have self-interest.
Yeah, so if you live near these saline manufacturing plants in Puerto Rico, maybe you'll get power quicker because they're trying to make sure they're back on the grid.
Yeah.
So
maybe on a happier note, everybody should check out yesterday's 60 Minutes. They had a story about the Michelin-starred chef Jose Andres, who basically went down to Puerto Rico. He's, you know, one of the, like, fanciest chefs in the world.
That is his title.
Yeah, fanciest chef in the world. No, but, like, the way he was, like, breaking new ground in, like, molecular gastronomy, where, like, you use liquid nitrogen to, like, create, like, all these weird sort of cutting-edge, like, futuristic foods. But he went down to Haiti after the earthquake there, and he's doing the same thing in Puerto Rico, except on a larger scale, basically feeding, like, the entire island of Puerto Rico. Just he went down there and, like, found the ingredients that he needed, and just like, I don't know, it was interesting. There was like something about the urgency of like a chef's mind, like that they have just like baked into them, like a hard line to just like get resources and like make things work in a certain amount of time and like scramble shit together that just like really works. And he's gone and like tried to deal with FEMA and tell them what's needed, and he's just like incredibly frustrated by you know, the amount of red tape that's there. But it is a really inspiring story of like what one person can do with their talents.
Well, and this is damning evidence of how we're handling the recovery operations there, that private citizens are like, well, since you guys can't get your shit together, I guess I will go there and feed all these people. I mean, it's really inspiring because you see how dedicated he is to like as a chef too. I'm sure he's also has this idea of like people need food, people need to be fed. Like, that is just a basic need. And he was, he put together, like, an A-team of people just to, like, churn out food constantly.
Also inspiring was this New York Times article from over the weekend that showed us that Nazis are
real
just
people
like
too.
Us. Yeah.
They are really real people. God. I mean, look, yes, Nazis are people too. Like, no one's debating that. But what is dangerous is when you have a publication like the New York Times and really, like, again, they are normalizing this kind of thinking or this kind of like culture, where in it there's mainly about this guy named Tony Hovater, I don't know how to pronounce it,
I believe it's Kvinge.
It's Kvinge. Yeah. So it starts off, they're like, you know, they were married this fall and they registered at Target, and on their list was a muffin pan and a pineapple slicer.
Who's also a white supremacist.
But they also do a very good job of being like, well, we're white nationalists. We're not white supremacists. Cool. In the article, like, that's an opportunity where you say, that's just them trying to distance themselves, like hiding in disguise because they're actual Nazis. And like, well, no, we're just white nationalists. We're not white supremacists. That's a more evil thing. And I think that's another kind of dangerous thing in the article. There are many moments where I think the person writing it could have began to pick apart what they were saying or the logic they were applying.
Right.
And they got a lot of flack for it. I mean, like, one of the wildest quotes in there was like this thing where he was talking about how like Hitler was chill. There's a quote that said, he said that while Nazi leader Heinrich Himmler wanted to exterminate groups like Slavs and homosexuals, Hitler was, quote, a lot more kind of chill on those subjects. Mm. And then he goes, I think he was a guy who really believed in his cause, he said of Hitler. He really believed he was fighting for his people and doing what he thought was right. Okay, first of all, bro, like, you can't be saying Hitler was kind of chill.
Yeah, well, psychopaths are chill. Like, they're chill all the time.
Right. But I think I think what the danger is to someone who might be, like, susceptible to this kind of talk or could be brought into a movement like white supremacy and reading stuff like having the New York Times be like, oh, wow, and this guy says Hitler's chill or whatever, and not really challenging that. There's a lot of potential for harm.
Right. And I mean, yeah, they had a lot of clapback from, like, BuzzFeed released an article immediately and was like, you know, they didn't even look at the underlying cause of this rise in white supremacy, which is like a combination of the internet and, you know, the political climate. But it wasn't explaining those things. It was just trying to show how, like, normal this has become in certain parts of the world. But it, the Columbia Journalism Review, Columbia has, like, the best or second best journalism school in the country. And they released a thing just saying, quote, judging a piece by the reaction of its subject isn't always the best barometer of the story's success. But when an avowed Nazi sympathizer is celebrating, as BuzzFeed's Charlie Wurzel reports Hovester and others were after the Times article posted, it's a sign you've missed the mark.
I found that since Trump's been in power, because of all the stuff with the KKK, my initials are unfortunately KKK.
Oh, and wow.
Your initials are KKK. You have premonitions of terrorist attacks. Go on, Coxie.
Oh,
no. Let me know more.
It's awful. Well, so my mom's last name is Kvinge. My dad's last name is Kelly. And they just... When they went to name me, they were like, oh, we like the name Katia. And then they just gave it. They didn't realize. They were just so naive. And then 2 years later, when my sister was born, they could have had 2 years to realize their mistake. And they named my sister Camilla, which could have been with a C. But they're like, we like Camilla with a K, because that's how they do it in Norway. So both me and my sister. Yeah. It's so bad, because now when I get forms like coming into America, like, please initial. And I'm like, oh, I'll just do both, like, K and K.
Sure someone at the border probably looked at you and said, right on, sister.
Oh, God.
I feel right on that shit.
There's a part in Dr. Seuss's alphabet book where they do, like, every letter, like, two words. So they're like, kangaroo and kite, KKK. I know all the words to it, and I found myself saying that a lot to my son.
Wait.
And it's weird. So...
New York Times, shame on you. I know you tried to say, look, I mean, I get what they're trying to say.
They're trying to respect the intelligence of their audience, but yeah, your audience, you're the biggest paper in the country.
Yeah, and like, you're giving Nazis like clippings for their press kits to be like, yeah, and see, like, they didn't totally tear us down.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good. It's not good. Not a good look.
The other, and we're not doing any big evergreen deep dive today because there's so much to catch up with. So the other big thing that happened over the long weekend is that, can you explain, Miles, what happened with Flynn and the Mueller investigation?
Yeah. So basically, his legal team is no longer sharing information with Trump's legal team, which, you know, suggests that basically a lot of people are wanting to say that Flynn is basically ready to flip on Trump.
Right.
Because, like, this thing is sort of like they call it a joint defense agreement or joint information sharing agreement. And that's just like a way for, like, if y'all are all on the defense side of things, your lawyers can kind of get together, be like, okay, what do you know? Okay, what do you know? And then they can begin strategizing their defense based on what they know. It's just significant when someone withdraws from an agreement like that, because it's a pretty good indication that at that point, you're cooperating with the prosecution or the government in this case.
Right.
In whatever respect that means, whether that means he's going to fight the case and he has his own way of defending it, or he has a deal that he wants to work on to try and lessen his sentence or maybe something for his son. So, I mean, again, this isn't, I think, with every little bit of news that we get, like a revolving around the Mueller probe, a lot of people who want Trump to not be president anymore get real excited.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit. At the best, yeah, he's about to be Mr. Rat 5000 and maybe, you know, sell people up the ladder, because a lot of also like legal pundits were saying that, you know, if Mueller is offering a deal to Mike Flynn, it's only because he can get someone higher up than him.
Right.
So that only leaves like, you know, Jared Kushner, Don Ju, Big Don, who knows, one of those people. So again, take it with a grain of salt. We don't know yet.
So going completely against the grain of that story, our writer from Canada, so typical, Jan McNabb, posed the hypothetical question, what if Mueller actually kind of sucks at his job? Which is not something I had heard raised, but he kind of built a disturbingly convincing case that might be.
I mean, yeah, built a case that at least made us scratch our heads a
little
bit.
So like Mueller, the thing you always hear is that he was the head of the FBI for a number of years in a row, I think his full term, and then Obama like kept him on for a couple years because he was so good at his job. And so, you know, that sounds like, oh man, this guy's got his shit together. He's probably going to be like Mr. Ace Detective, like the Dark Knight of the modern world. And there are a couple investigations in his background that he headed up that have been totally like bungled. So there's a case in the late 70s, where he headed up an investigation into the Hell's Angels, who were openly like selling drugs and racketeering and, just gang assaulting people. And so he led a team of four prosecutors to retry these guys, 11 of them. And after 4 months, the jury was like, we're deadlocked. And the judge declared a mistrial. And Mueller was like, yeah, no further questions. I'm not going to seek a retrial. And this was a case that people thought should have been fairly easy-ish to make. But that was a long time ago.
And his defense, too, they were saying that, like, at the time, these racketeering charges he came up with were like sort of novel back then.
Okay.
Like it was a sort of a very different way of going after these kind of groups.
And then the other big case that he was in charge of was figuring out what the fuck was going on in the aftermath of 9/11 with the anthrax attacks that killed 5 people, sent 17 others to the hospital. The FBI was in charge of finding out who it was. And there were only a set group of people with access to this, like, weapons-grade, government-grade anthrax. And they originally accused a guy named Stephen J. Hatfill, who was a virologist at the Army's laboratories at Fort Detrick in Maryland. But that got out to the media, and he ended up suing the FBI for $5.8 million because it wasn't him. And like the type of anthrax that he had access to was not the type of anthrax that was used in the attacks. And then so the story that I had always heard is that they then found the guy who definitely did it, this guy Bruce E. Ivins, who, when he learned from his lawyer that he was about to be accused of murder in connection with these anthrax attacks, committed suicide. And there are still reasons to think that he might have been the guilty party. Namely, he found out from his lawyer that he was being accused, and rather than being like, damn it, I'm innocent, killed himself. So that's crazy. But on the other hand, there are a lot of sort of second guessing going on about whether he was actually guilty. They say that, you know, some of the evidence where they're suggesting that the types of anthrax matched up might just be a case of parallel evolution, basically because anthrax is like a living organism. They were able to match the anthrax he had access to the anthrax in the envelopes, but they were saying, no, you could easily have two batches of anthrax that just evolved in similar directions, essentially. So we don't really know. There's just been accusations that Mueller and the FBI didn't rigorously enough explore that explanation. Yeah. And then there was a supposedly a FBI campaign to paint him as the guilty party after he died. So to like really just make it an open and shut thing, which obviously would be very convenient for them. Like,
right.
Oh, well, this guy can't protect himself anymore. So let's just, you know,
Paint it on this guy.
Bury him, so to speak.
It's tough to like hear that like he kind of fucked up in the past. But again, we don't know. These could be the kinds of mistakes the superhero has to go through, kinds of failures that are like, you know what? I'm not fucking up this time. This is a time to get it right.
Right. So
we'll see.
We shall see. It's just a thing that I had totally blindsided me because I had only heard that he was like this superhero FBI leader.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I was hoping an article would be like, he had a dream about these serial killers and he found them the next day and prevented a mass murder. Like,
right. Exactly.
But again, it's like, I didn't know how to prosecute the Hell's Angels. You're like, oh, shit.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Royals, y'all.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
And we're back. So big news over the weekend.
The biggest news, really.
Yeah. Prince Harry and the actress Meghan Markle are engaged. We're going to have a royal wedding with an American princess. So the last time we had a royal wedding, I was sort of taken aback by how big a deal it was just around the world, specifically in the UK.
Yeah.
But like another fact that I learned in the last handful of years that I was surprised by is that the royal family is like funded by British taxpayers' money. Like there's some of the most wealthy people in the world, and like poor people are like paying taxes to like help them keep up their palace.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you just hear about a monarchy?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's just shocking to me that that's still the case.
Right. Yeah, you'd think they'd move on and not collect, you know, tithings from their their subjects.
And now we're about to have this like many millions of dollars wedding that stops the city of London in its tracks and basically the entire UK in its tracks for like weeks. Right.
What's the vibe like as a UKer.
I mean, it's very mixed. There are a lot of people that are anti-monarchy, and then a lot of people that are obsessed. I just saw the news this morning, and it was saying most Londoners are wondering if they'll get a holiday, and then the next news was like they're not getting a holiday.
So, they're not.
Yeah. As far as I know, the wedding's not going to be like a national holiday.
Is that normal?
I think for Kate and Will, it was a holiday. Yeah.
Oh, shit. So when you're the redheaded young boy, you don't get a holiday for... Also, I have a personal connection to Prince Harry. We were born on the exact same day.
Wow.
Nice. September 15th. Yeah, so my mom, like when she was giving birth, the nurse came in and was like, Princess Diana just had her baby.
Oh, funny.
And my mom's a huge Anglophile, so like she probably was like... It's like the greatest day of her life.
That's anyway. Crazy that you remember that, man.
Yeah, it was wild. My first memory was like, I'm also born at the same time as a prince. Yes, this will cloud my self-perception for the rest of my life.
I don't know. The fact that they are so lifted up by the culture, it actually, when I was thinking about it today, reminded me of that short story, The Lottery, where they like randomly choose a person from a society to like stone to death. And just like that gets all their violence out. You know that short story? Like, so they have a lottery in the center of town and like one person pulls the short straw and then they stone them to death. And it's like a yearly. The Hunger Games is heavily inspired by this. It's an old short story that American kids used to have to read, I guess. But it's
to
the idea being
bullying someone.
Right. Yeah. Just to.
It's cathartic, man.
Right. Exactly. It's like the idea being that like it's valuable to the culture to have some like bloodletting essentially.
Okay.
Right. And I just wonder if like the royals, if there's some function that they perform that a culture needs. It's like the reverse of that. It's like you lift them up and the poor people give part of their money to let them, you know, have a royal dog watcher for each of the dogs that the queen keeps in her palace.
I know she has loads of like parties, like summer parties, tea parties. My mum and my stepdad a few years ago were invited to a couple because if you do something that's notable if you're on some sort of list, I guess, then you're invited. My stepdad was one of the people, along with Al Gore, that were that won the Nobel Prize. So it was him and a team of many people.
What was that? Your dad won a Nobel Prize?
Well, him and a team of people were on the team that worked with Al Gore.
Oh, got it.
They were part of that. So I think that was he works as a professor of mountain studies and does loads of stuff for the environment. So I think for a few years, my mom and my stepdad were invited to a bunch of them, and I think there is that. And they also have Royal Ascot, which is like the races. So they do have events throughout the year, which are sort of kept as like, yes, the royals are mingling with the normal people.
Right.
I guess maybe. I know Norway is obsessed with the British royals. And like whenever I'm there, they always have loads of papers. The covers of papers are... just Will and Kate and then their own monarchy. I don't know if the people are, but definitely I see with the tabloids, there's a big obsession with it.
And how early it starts for the offspring is really reminiscent of like the flashback sequences in the Truman Show, like where everybody's just like watching the first steps of the kid and they're all just like, so excited. Having spent time, in America, do you think there's a like American equivalent? Like, is our celebrity culture similarly like upholding?
Definitely. I remember Jennifer Lawrence said, I think she was like thinking that she felt like she had to pay taxes to Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. And I definitely think that there's the pedestal that we put mainly actors is kind of, yeah.
Right.
Well, they also fit like our, like, you know, it's the archetype of kings and queens. There's like a lot of stuff like from culture that you like, because like even look at almost every week, right, when we do the Bloids, some form of royal family story is on there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's like a way to also like augment our own sense of history by being American, like that it maybe somehow goes further back than 1776 because of like living under British rule. And that's like remnants of that, that we still look that way. Or if it's like the Cinderella story of like precisely for Meghan Markle, like that's the kind of shit that people like dream about. It's like, I'm just a regular person. And now I'm a part of the royalty.
It's like a Disney story.
Yeah.
It does feel when the news in the UK recently, when it's not been about terrorism, it then is like, oh, let's see what the royals are up to. Kind of, it changes to that quite quickly.
Right.
Yeah. It's more like a live action Disney movie, I feel like.
Live action
like
Disney
starring
movie.
Starring Anne Hathaway.
With like,
when
people
she was a tween.
With people who look are very photogenic, man. I got to say, this is a, I don't know, is this the best looking royal family ever?
I don't know. We have
know?
No
Can
way
we say
of knowing
that?
Because all the other ones like portraits were just painted by people who knew that the person they were painting could like have their head chopped off if they wanted to.
Exactly.
So they're like, "Damn, you're a good looking man, Henry VIII."
Yeah, damn, like, your arms are jacked, man.
Damn, bro.
What do you
look
how
at
much
those
you bench?
Shins.
How much you bench? Look at that calf definition.
But I mean, I guess the thing that Americans would say is that ours is at least a meritocracy. You know, we choose our people based on, you know, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt being the best looking people in the world or something. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, the scandals that we're seeing in Hollywood these days are sort of putting a lie to that, like that, you know, at least the royal line of succession is like the rules of that are clear and public. And we're learning that in America, our royalty is bestowed by like sociopathic sexual predators and like dark hotel suites who are just like, yeah, you, I like you.
Is there any chance that Meghan Markle could have any kind of come into power? Like you're not in the line of succession if you marry into it, right?
So the rules of succession go like this. So, next in line, Prince Charles, he's first in line. Prince William is second in line, and then both of Prince William's children, so Prince George, who was born in 2013, is just the most adorable kid in the world, and then their daughter, who is 1.5, born
Princess
in 2015,
Charlotte.
Princess Charlotte, is fourth in line, and then Prince Harry is fifth.
The unborn child.
Right. Wills and Kate are pregnant with their third, which is that child will then jump above Harry. So Harry's currently fifth, about to become sixth.
Yeah, exactly. Once the baby is born, he will be sixth.
Right.
And then any of his kids would enter the line of succession after him.
So the princess, Meghan Markle, is, you know, on the one hand, sometimes. So, for instance, Queen Elizabeth, current queen, current ruler, she is married to a dude named Prince Philip, who you never hear about because he's like, it all flows through the blood of this one family.
You do hear about him in the UK, but maybe not out here.
Not out here. Yeah. In America, you don't hear about him.
Yeah.
So everything, it's all about flowing through the blood of this one family. Mm-hmm. So, on the other hand, so that's one extreme in that I don't think a lot of Americans have like hear about Prince Philip all that much, even though he's married to the queen. But on the other hand, Princess Diana was not like considered an actual like heir to the throne, but she was like the British Madonna. She was like the biggest deal in the world. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it can go really either way. I guess with the line of succession, the one thing would be her kids with Harry, assuming they have kids, would be some distant version of being in line for the throne, which would presumably be the closest the line of succession has ever passed to people of color.
What's interesting is like some of the coverage, though. There are
Right.
You know,
so
some people, they're like shouting her out. Like, it's great that there's like a woman of color who mm-hmm. could join the royal family and things like that. Then other ones are a little more,
yeah,
just shitty.
Yeah. The Daily Mail, in November of last year, had a headline, Harry's girl is in parentheses almost, and then straight out of Compton. That's the Daily Mail, y'all.
Yeah. So even this Daily Mail piece kind of goes on to even say some shit like, if there's an issue from her alleged union with Prince Harry, the Windsors will thicken their watery thin blue blood and Spencer pale skin and ginger hair with some rich and exotic DNA.
Ugh.
They also, the writer who wrote this piece also described Meghan Markle's mother as a dreadlocked African-American lady from the wrong side of the tracks.
So her mother, Doria Radlin, who they're talking about like being from the wrong side of the tracks, is actually a psychotherapist and yoga instructor. Her dad is an Emmy Award-winning lighting director. She actually grew up in Hollywood, went to like one of the better, most prestigious private schools in Los Angeles, and graduated from Northwestern, which is one of the better schools in America. So, yeah, all of this bullshit about her being from the wrong side of the tracks is bonkers.
Like, again, these are like The Sun and The Daily Mail. They are more gossipy sites as much as they want to argue that they're like, you know, legitimate journalistic outlets.
When I performed, I did stuff at the Olympics. We like welcomed the athletes. We had the Daily Mail coverage, and that's when I saw firsthand how much they made up. They said that we were speaking in tongues. They said that the athletes looked at us like they hated our performance. And I was like, they were loving it. And we were singing Queen songs. Like, it was just completely made up. Like, it wasn't actual. It was fake news.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. That was the Daily Mail or one
that
of
was the Daily Mail. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're gonna stay on top of this because we're getting our girl Megan.
Fuck the Daily
She's
Mail.
Gonna get she will be on the throne.
Yeah, I just suddenly became like so protective of her.
Yeah. Like, don't do her like that.
This may eventually just become a royal watching podcast, but for now, that's gonna do it for today's episode. Katya, where can people find you and follow you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Katya Kvinge, K V I N G E. it's a couple of things on YouTube, but mainly Instagram.
Awesome.
Is that your main media?
Yeah, okay. I prefer it. I like pictures and videos.
I like pictures.
I like pictures.
Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us, The Daily Zeitgeist, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook page that is The Daily Zeitgeist, and you can follow us on Twitter at just Daily Zeitgeist, no the, and you can also find us on our website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and we post our footnotes, where you can find all the sources for all the stuff that you thought we were making up on today's episode. And that's going to do it for this episode 1 of season 8. We will be back tomorrow with more podcasts because it is a daily show. Talk to you then.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.